On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saver Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, this is the first edition of a new little series that we're going to try out here on the Who's On Podcast. Camp updates every week during fall camp for the Cavaliers as they get going. We're going to have a little 30-minute update each week as the second podcast of the week. So today we're going to kick things off because fall camp is underway, and that means the summer is over for everyone in the sports world. And Mike Barber is my guest today, now the editor-in-chief for Seaville Right Now. Mike, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. You know, it's funny, in my old line of work, we always said ACC kickoff was marked the end of summer. That was sort of like the unofficial delineation of once you headed to Charlotte and you had your 3 or 4 days now of media days, that was the end of your summer. In this role, it's a little more fluid, but I think that's still a good opening of camp is a good sign that our summer is over.
What is summer anymore? Especially this year, I've been talking with so many people, just like, you know, basketball and then baseball, kind of that coaching search. It just, there really wasn't a summer this year. But speaking of ACC kickoff, you know, we started fall camp yesterday. Virginia had their first practice out there. And just a little bit before we talked to Tony Elliott, to start fall camp, the ACC preseason media poll dropped. UVA, for all those that haven't seen, was picked 14th in the preseason poll. First, before we get into kind of Tony's comments on the poll, what did you think of where Virginia kind of sits going into the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably fair. You know, these polls mean less and less every year now. You know, I used to always laugh at coaches who were like, oh, the polls don't mean anything. Well, I think a few years ago they did, right? They meant, you know, who was returning talent and who had a favorable schedule and who was strong and who wasn't. But the reality is these days with the transfer portal, we don't know. Like, we don't know exactly what any team is, and we don't really know who's got the easy schedule. I mean, we can look at it and think, okay, Wake, Stanford, those look like some nice plum games to grab wins if you're Virginia, for example. But conversely, we really don't know what anybody has. So, look, I think when you look at what's returning, when you look at the fact that they've won 11 games over the last 3 years, the fact they've won 6 conference games over the last 3 seasons, I think that's more than fair. I'd be surprised if that's where they end up. I think this is a better team. I think this is one of the teams that has a chance to make a big jump because of what they've done in the portal. But yeah, it's, you're speculating at this point.
Yeah, usually with these polls, it's all, you know, what have you done for me lately a lot of the times. And so, you know, Virginia hasn't done a lot for anyone lately. So I think it's fine going into the season. Like you said, I don't expect them to finish there. And if we're talking about where I expect people to finish, I would probably put them more in like the, you know, 8-9 range. I think there's a lot of depth in the conference this year. I think Clemson's kind of, you know, ahead of the pack. And then the rest of it, I could kind of see any kind of maturation of teams from 2 to 10, really, maybe even further than that, just because I think there's a lot of teams that are kind of on the same level, including Miami, who was kind of the clear number 2 in this poll. I guess, you know, they were only a little bit ahead of SMU and Georgia Tech and Louisville and the like. But yeah, I think there's a lot more parity in the conference outside of Clemson this season.
Well, and just so much unknown, right? Like, talk about Miami. Would I be stunned if Miami finished 2nd or won the conference? No, I wouldn't be stunned. Would I be stunned if Miami finished 10th? No, I wouldn't be stunned. Like, a year ago, so much of Miami's success was Cam Ward. Now, look, they've brought in a lot of talent. I think there's a lot of good football players on the Miami Hurricanes. Are they a good football team? Well, that's what the next month for these coaches is really all about. And Tony Elliott talked about that, right? You've got these pieces. Now, what are you going to do with them? And we've seen some really talented teams that stunk, right? And we've seen some kind of marginal teams that the sum of the pieces were greater. and they were pretty good. So it's just so hard to project at this time.
Yeah, and probably the hardest team for me to project right now is Florida State, who's in seventh in this in the conference right now. They got four first place votes. I think that was the third most among teams. I don't know what to think of this Florida State team, and that's part of why everyone views Virginia as having an easy schedule is because, well, Florida State won two games last year, so it looks easy on paper, but I don't really know, like, are they gonna be good this year? Is Thomas Castellanos gonna be better than he was at Boston College? Because I wasn't terribly impressed with what we saw, especially towards the end of last season before he got benched. So yeah, they're definitely one of the teams. Just to get into Tony Elliott's comments now, I thought his were interesting yesterday. You know, he gave the whole coach speak. Yeah, like we could use it as motivation, but you know, it's all about kind of what we do internally. It's not about external. But the interesting part was like towards the end of those comments is where, you know, he said, you know, he kind of had some frustration and some annoyance with, you know, people kind of laughing away, like when players say, you know, we want to be in the championship or we think that we could, you know, strive towards that. And, you know, you look at the ACC preseason media poll, you see why people are laughing because they have him 14th right now. But I thought his comments were a little more interesting than the normal coach speak.
Yeah, and the passion with which he delivered them, right? Like
Yes.
it wasn't just, hey, you know, it's stupid for us to not shoot for, you know, the moon. It was annoyed. It was angry. It's not okay to have the mindset that you're not in the running a month before the season starts. And I think he's right, right? I mean, you know, you talk about things that do translate and don't translate from Clemson. Look, there's a lot that doesn't translate from Clemson to UVA, in terms of facilities and support and fan passion. There's a lot of things that just aren't the same. But one thing that is the same is within that locker room, within the walls. And I think what Tony Elliott wants to see is a team that carries itself like a championship contender. And he said as much, right, during the comments. He said, the teams that we talk about winning championships, that process started before they were champions. That's what he wants to see at Virginia. So, yeah, I think he's absolutely right. You know, I don't think there are many teams that open a season that feel in their hearts they have no chance, right? I think at the high school level, yeah, you probably have that. But I think at the college level, especially these days with the transfer portal, look, you got to. A bunch of guys who are going to take the field, 11 at a time, who have not played together and don't know exactly what they can be. But each one of them is probably pretty darn confident in what they can do. They've probably seen some good things from their teammates. They've probably heard some of the hype around some of the guys who've come in. So, yeah, I'm with Tony Elliott on this one. Like, if you're Virginia, you go to camp thinking you're preparing to compete for an ACC title. Now, do I pick them to do that? No, I don't. But that should be the mindset in your program.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they had a lot of transfers that kind of came in with that mindset and that confidence, and you know, good on them. You know, that's kind of the first camp headline that we'll have in this running series here. But you know, it was the first day of camp, not a ton of headlines coming out of it, and that might be a good thing because injury wise, you know, they kind of made it through spring and summer relatively unscathed. I know that the big one was Monroe Mills, the offensive tackle they got from Louisville. He's obviously going to be out for the whole season, and then the corners, Jahm Jackson and Dre Walker, two of the only guys returning in that cornerback group, they're also going to be out for pretty much the majority of the season. So those are kind of the three main ones. There's a couple of guys that were limited here and there: Terrell Harris, Christian Charles, the transfer from Tennessee, Antonio Clary, still not all the way back, but you know, he's expected, he's kind of on path. So kind of relatively unscathed, and that kind of brings me to the next one is, you know, this is a comment that Tony Elliott has said, the assistant coaches have said, everyone's kind of voiced it. This is the best roster, the deepest roster that they've had in their entire 4-year run here at Virginia. And you can kind of tell, like, just, you know, from the little bit that we get to see in practice, like, I got there, you know, a few minutes behind, but just I walked out there and like that I thought I saw all the offensive linemen, and then I realized that, oh, there's like two more groups of offensive linemen. Like, there's a lot of depth on this team.
Yeah, you know, they've got to the point where they look good getting off the bus, like coaches like to say. And they're to the point where, look, that Monroe Mills injury in past years would have been devastating, right? It would have been, are they going to be functional in the front five after losing one of the pieces? It speaks to their depth that, you know, there's an injury there, and we still feel like, hey, there might be a lot of good talent depth on the offensive line. So, it's the number one thing I think that Tony Elliott and his staff have addressed over the last 4 years is building up that depth. He talked about wanting to look more like other ACC teams where you can rotate in defensive lines, you know, bring them in fresh. I thought his comments were really interesting. It's what I wrote my column about this morning at SevoRightNow.com. The idea that he's saying, hey, this is our best roster. This is our deepest roster. If we don't deliver on that, he's essentially saying that's on us, right? At one point, he gave the comment, he said, we've done more with less. Now let's see what we can do with more. And that's really putting, in a sense, a target on his own back, saying, okay, I have a good football team. If we don't win, well, who do you blame? And this is certainly a make or break year for Tony Elliott. Everybody understands that. But on the other hand, what position would you rather be in, Preston? Would you rather be in fall camp saying, we got depth problems and this isn't a very good roster and my job's on the line? Or would you rather say, hey, we're kicking off fall camp with the deepest, most talented roster we've ever had. We understand what's at stake and we're going to go for it.
Yeah, I think also the thing that I kind of taken away from conversations with coaches, and I've heard Tony Elliott use kind of the verbiage a little bit. I think the theme of the season is no excuses. Like, this is your best, your deepest roster, as they kept saying, and you have a relatively what looks like an easier schedule. So there are no more excuses. You just have to win. Like, there's no getting into the end of the year and being like, oh, well, we just didn't have the depth to get through the year. No, you've said this is the deepest roster you've had. You believe that you have the talent to get through a whole season. The schedule looks pretty good. Yeah. Des Kitchings has said that Chandler Morris is, the perfect quarterback, the best suited quarterback to what they're doing offensively. So, yeah, the term is no excuses going forward. Interesting conversation I had with some people. How many position groups are at their strongest heading into this season over the last 4 years? I'm curious, is there any that you would say are not?
I still think I've got a lot of questions at corner and in the secondary. You mentioned the injuries there. Corner to me has been a revolving door since Tony Elliott got here. Not all his fault. A couple guys left by transfer portal. We've had the injuries. They've had some transfers that didn't pan out. So corner to me is number one there where I'm not in love. Now they've brought in some good pieces, man, and they could be, all conference caliber guys when it's all said and done. But to me, that goes in as a question mark because you don't have returners. You don't have guys who've been in the program for a long time. That's probably the only one. I mean, running back to me is as deep and ready as it's been in a while, right? It's not just there's a bunch of options. It's a bunch of options you feel pretty good about. Wide receiver, I feel the same way. Look, I don't know, backup quarterback, how do I feel there? That's a question, but how many teams in the portal era feel great about their backup quarterback with the propensity for guys to leave if they are the backup? So, corner and backup quarterback. Other than that, I feel pretty good about the depth on this roster.
I feel better about backup quarterback than maybe most other years going into this. I know Calandria and Musket were kind of battling it out towards the end there, but I think as we kind of saw as the season went on, like we weren't great with either position, either guy out there on the field. So I think Daniel Kalen's a guy that has a lot of potential down the long term, and hopefully you don't have to see him much. Chandler Morris just kind of takes off, and that's just kind of what it looks like. But yeah, quarterback, I think that one looks better. Running back looks better. Wide receiver, I kind of differ. I think it's way deeper than they've had at the receiver position. They don't have the
Especially
top
in this,
level.
yeah, especially in the slot.
Yeah,
Man, they got
especially
a
the slot.
lot of options in the slot. I hope those guys are. I hope it's true when they say these are guys who can play inside out. Otherwise, you're going to have some pretty good players sitting on the sideline because they're not in at the slot at that moment.
Yeah, that's one of the position groups I have my eyes on. I told Adam Mims, the wide receivers coach, I'm like, I can almost figure out any position on this roster except for cornerback because there's so many new guys. I don't know what any of them look like in slot receiver. And at slot receiver, there's a lot of guys I have seen before, but I still can't figure it out because there's so many guys competing for that same position. But yeah, they don't have like the top level guy, but I think Trell Harris has a ton of potential to break out this year. He was kind of trending that way last year before he got hurt anyways. They've got some other guys there. Offensive line, far and away the best that's been since Tony Elliott's been here. Defensive line, probably the same, far and away the best. Linebacker, it's pretty much the same cast and crew coming back, adding Maddox Marcellus, but it's deeper. Maybe you can keep those guys healthy. Yeah, cornerback's interesting. You remember back Tony Elliott's first year, they had, AJ Johnson and Fentrell
Central,
Cypress.
yep.
So that position looked pretty good back then. And then safety, you don't have a Jonas Sanker back there, but You got some options. So yeah, probably that secondary is probably the one where I'm a little questionable right now. That's going to take us into this last one that I'm kind of looking at and focusing as we go into this year, because towards the end of last year, the biggest question I think fans were talking about, yelling about, and everything was Des Kitchings, the offense coordinator in this offense. What's happening? Is there going to be any improvement? A lot of pessimistic people will take the stance of it doesn't matter how many players you bring in if Des Kitchings is still the offensive coordinator. And I've talked to him, and obviously he's not paying attention to that, but he knows that needs to be improvement. How do you view kind of this offense going into its fourth year? It's almost fourth iteration now. It's looked very different each year almost.
Yeah, and I think that's been out of necessity, right? Like, I don't think that's ideal. Tony Elliott, when he was hired, and Des Kitchings, when he came in, they talked about we want to be balanced. We want to be a team that can run the ball. We want to be a team that can finish in the red zone. Well, everybody wants to be those things, right? And they've tried to do it in a lot of different ways, and it hasn't always worked. And some of it has been quarterback play, and some of it has been running back play. A lot of it has been offensive line play. So now you're looking at a team where you don't see a glaring weakness on this offense, which means that Des Kitchings and Tony Elliott should be able to run things the way they want to. They should be able to call the game the way they want to. I mean, you know this, but there are situations where you're third and six, and the play you want to call doesn't match your personnel. I used to talk to an offensive coordinator from another school in the ACC, and he used to always explain to me why his play call that didn't work was the right play call, and it was about situation and it was about the opponent. And I was countered with, okay, but you have a receiver who isn't going to get separation. So it's not the perfect play call because of your team. That's what's going to be interesting to watch this year is, will Des Kitchings dial up the perfect play calls now with guys who can execute them? Because in the past, I think he was maybe on option two, three, and four, thinking, okay, this is what I'd like to run, but I know we're not going to block it. This is what I'd like to run, but I know our tight end's not going to get to that spot in time. Now he should have the opportunity to run what he wants to run. We'll see how that all works.
Well, one interesting verbiage that Terry Heffernan, the offensive line coach, uses, he feels like with the offensive line where it is now, the best spot it's been in their 4 years, they can kind of take the governor off the offense. Like you can actually do a little bit more because you have faith in that offense. And, Des Kitchings was saying to me, like, those second and nine situations or, all those, spots they struggled with last year, if you have more faith to run the ball to get the 4 or 5 yards you need on the ground, that's going to continue to set you up and continue to keep your playbook open. So you're not limited. So the defense can't key in on what you're trying to do. So I think a lot of this has to do with the offensive line. If, you got a good offensive line, you can do a lot of stuff in football, and it'll just be on Des Kitchings now. And Tony Elliott talked about he's had to spend so much time thinking of the perfect play call because of some of the limitations they had as a team. And now this kind of limit frees him up to not have to make the perfect play call, to just kind of let the players play. And we'll see if that makes a difference for him in this offense because the numbers don't look great for him in the first 3 years. So we'll see what it looks like with another team. Training camp is open now. As the first day kind of gets past that and we kind of get into it now. I'm going to do three things to watch or three things to watch going into camp. We'll start with an offensive player that you have an eye on, Mike.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what Xavier Brown's going to do this year. Look, we talked a lot about Jamari Taylor, and there's depth at the running back position. It's going to be a competition. That guy has been really good when he's healthy and on the field. I think the coaches admitted they didn't use him last year, maybe as much as they could have. I talked to him a lot in the first 2 years of his career about how hard it was to stay healthy, how much time. I mean, he used to talk about how he and Paris Jones would just sit together, two undersized running backs. They'd sit together in the training room talking about ways to keep your body healthy because you do take, this pounding playing that position in particular. I think he's a guy who, if he's healthy and is used right, can be a star. I think the coaches have a really good handle on who he is. And look, Jamari Taylor might be the best all-around running back. He's got 15 practices at UVA, no games with the Cavaliers under his belt. I just feel like X Brown is a guy these coaches know. They know the right, just what we were talking about, the right play calls, the right moments. They know how to use this dude. I think he's got a lot of talent. I think he's got a lot of toughness. I'd be very curious to see what his role ends up becoming this year.
Yeah, I am interested in that. I was watching the running backs a little bit yesterday, and Jamari Taylor is taking a lot of the snaps with Chandler Morris, who's we know is the starting quarterback. So, you tend to think, all right, well, that means Jamari's ahead. But then they also flipped it around. They kind of evened it out and they split reps. Xavier Brown got some handoffs from Chandler Morris too. So obviously, like those guys are the top two guys, and everyone else is kind of, Noah Vonn, the Harrison Whaleys, everyone else is trying to figure it out behind them. But they're going to use both of those guys. And Des Kitching said that he thinks both those guys could rush for over 500 yards this year, which doesn't sound like a lot. But when you realize that no running back has done that at UVA since 2018, that is a lot to have two guys go over that amount. And they almost did it last year. I know injuries kind of prevented them from finishing that out, but yeah, Xavier Brown's a really interesting one. Just can he stay healthy and can he be used in a more effective way? I mean, his coach Keith Gaither, the running backs coach, said that they fully believe he's one of the top four running backs coming back in the ACC, just based on the analytics and everything that they've seen, Pro Football Focus and everything coming into this year. The guy I got my eye on with all these new offensive linemen and everything else, Mikhail Boley. He has played a lot since his freshman year. Now with all these other offensive tackles coming in here, Terry Heffernan still says he's one of the most athletic offensive linemen they have in the room, along with the new guy they got, Mikalen Thomas, who big expectations for him. And I know I'll say this real quick as an aside, watching him yesterday, a lot of people are like, oh, you can't be 6'3 and be an offensive tackle. You can if you're built like Mikalen Thomas, who has huge shoulders, very broad, and the wingspan is ridiculous, guys. Like he has got very long arms, and those are the ingredients that you really need as a tackle. It doesn't matter if you're 6'4", 6'5". We just saw last year in the NFL draft, one guy got dinged because his arms were too short. If you got long arms, you can make it. But back to Mikhail Boley, yeah, I'm really interested to see what he does this year. He was injured going into last year. I think he was injured going into the year before that too. So a healthy off season. He's got to take the spring off to kind of get healthy again. Can he kind of stake a claim at that left tackle position this year?
Yeah, I think that's going to be huge for them. And, they bring back Josie and Boley, and there's, certainly there's something to be said for continuity, even if it's just a pair on the left side, if that's the way they end up playing them. I know they may end up splitting that pair up and do things differently, but it's going to be interesting. And he's been a guy who's been, he had a lot put on his shoulders as a young guy, so high expectations. And what you hope is that that experience pays off in success down the road. Sometimes it doesn't, right? Sometimes it's the opposite. You throw a kid into the fire and then it kind of derails their career. Boley's had the injuries. You hope he can take that next step. Curious also, and it almost goes back to your position group question, but Dakota Twitty, at a tight end. I don't, we haven't seen it, right? We believe it and we hear from the coaches. He's another one that's interesting and at a position group that maybe, if you're talking about one that hasn't been, that isn't as established at least as it's been, he's another guy to keep your eye on.
Yeah, that was the only other one that I was thinking of earlier with the position groups. I might take last year's ahead because Tyler Neville kind of seemed like a solid piece there at the tight end position. To the point that we're screaming all year, why aren't you throwing the ball to him more? Like he's wide open over the middle. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they use that tight end position this year.
Those decisions are now UNLV's problem.
Yeah, exactly. A subtle hint there. Mike, defensive player that you got your eye on.
It's the combo of the ends, Mitchell Melton, and Fisher Kamak. I think they've got some explosiveness, some length. Look, I think UVA feels great about what it brings back on the interior. If those guys are disruptive off the edge, I think this defensive line can be really special. Now, we had high hopes last year for the defensive line. So when you're talking again about position group one year to the next, that defensive line last year had a ton returning. People thought big things were coming. But the pedigree of these guys, the athleticism, the length, this looks like it could be a special duo playing off each other on the edge. So I kind of cheated and took two guys there, but I think those two together are going to be really interesting coming off the edge.
I had Mitchell Melton as mine, so I'll throw out another one in a second, but just to touch on that, yeah, I think at this point it seems like Mitchell Melton, Fisher Kamak will be the first guys in there, the starters, and then we'll see Kazim Moore, we'll see Billy Kadelka, and some other guys kind of mix in there in the pass rush group, some younger guys, Mekhi Buchanan, Jude Hayes. And then the Daniel Rickard, the guy that got from Tennessee Tech. I know Chris Slade has mentioned that he's the guy that could also see some snaps out there. So they got some depth there, but I'm really interested to see with Melton and K-Mac because I think those are going to be the two main guys. But it's also nice just to have, I know, like, Chico Bennett and Cam Butler, they did a lot over those years. They were asked to do a lot over those years because they didn't quite have the depth to really be switched out and stuff. But it's nice to kind of have a little bit of freshness on the defensive line. I know Jameer Carter's back, but just to see a new group out there. One other I'll throw out there, a guy that has been around for a while is James Jackson, but also Trey McDonald. Who's starting next to Cam Robinson in that linebacker group? Both Jackson and McDonald were knocked up in the spring and nicked up all throughout last season. And I know Cam Robinson was playing on duct tape by the end of the year. So can they kind of have a settled group there at the linebacker positions and rotate all four of those guys in there? Interested to see what happens there. Position group, I think we're both going to have the same one because I know you were asking Tony about it yesterday, but the cornerbacks, what is this group going to look like this year? Because we don't know any of these guys. We know their transfer rating and all that, but that's about it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's how are they going to play together? How are they going to play off the safeties? How are they going to be used? Is John Rudzinski going to be comfortable leaving them man to man? Look, Rudd has certainly not been in the time he's here and throughout his career. He's not a big gambler, right? He wants to play back, keep everything in front. But to have flexibility in your play calling and to be able to be more disruptive, there's going to be times where you got to leave your corners one on one. And when teams have that, kind of like UVA did with AJ and Cypress, it changes the way you call a game defensively. Are these guys those kind of players? And so I think they need to quickly identify who are their top three, right? Who are the guys you're really, and then once you have that, what is your level of confidence? Are they the top three because they're the best you got, or are they the top three because they're pretty darn good? Can you leave one of them alone man to man? Can you leave two of them at times and be able to blitz from linebacker, from safety a little more freely? Again, it's not that they're not going to be good there. It's that for the fourth straight year, we don't know exactly what it is. And that revolving door, I think, to me, creates stress because maybe more than any other position defensively, it does dictate some of what else you do. Look, you want to be great on the defensive line. You want to stop the run. You want to be able to get after. But if your corners can't hold up, you're going to call a very vanilla defense. That's why, to me, it's so intriguing and so important.
Yeah, I've mentioned before AJ Johnson, when I talked to him about this, he said they were able to play a lot more press and they were able to play a lot more on an island that first year because you had longer corners that were able to have those kind of skill sets in AJ Johnson and Finchell Cypress. They haven't had that in the years following on this defense, and I think that's why we've seen a lot more conservative play. Plus, they've talked about needing corners for 4 years now. They haven't been able to get them. They get one or here or there. I thought Kempton Shine played fine last year. I thought he was a pretty good player, but they just have not been able to find consistency at that position. And so now you're going into this year. I think they've actually finally gotten to go out there and recruit corners that can be kind of the players that they envision if they can actually go out there and execute. That's the question. The guys that seem like they're kind of standing out above the pack, one day into it, after summer and stuff, it seemed like Donovan Platt, the
Army
transfer from
transfer, yep.
Army, and then Emmanuel Carnley, who came in with a lot of plaudits and a pretty big transfer rating after transferring from Arizona to briefly Miami and now Virginia.
Talent wise, I think it's there. Again, it's what are we going to get? And look, I mean, I think they did things with Dre before he got hurt that you said, okay, you're developing a young corner, and that's going to be the guy. And then, okay, if you need to go out and get a second, and the injury there, and then, they did strike out on some guys, but Jam Jackson looked like a pretty good pickup, and then he gets hurt. So I think a little bit snake bit as opposed to any kind of a failing there. I think they've just been unlucky, but it's an important spot to be unlucky at. There was a stretch precedent in the NFL where corner was considered the number one position. Like I think about like the money Jason Sehorn got from the Giants. You had to have that position. And now we're a little bit more into pass rush, I think, but it's a tough spot that they've been snake bit at.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see how it shakes out throughout camp. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about who's ahead right now, but it's been one day of fall camp and we'll see kind of how things go. But that was our first edition of the fall camp update. I'll try to do one here on the Who's On podcast every week going forward. But Mike, thanks for jumping on. And we'll see you down, all these practices we got coming up.
Yeah, hopefully next time we'll have a little better sense of what we're looking at, but I don't think it'll be huge.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Well, we got a couple of weeks before we get to the season. All right, that'll do it for the Who's On podcast. We will see you next week. Quick teaser to next week, we will be launching our YouTube channel for the Who's On podcast, and our first podcast on that will be former UVA All-American, Sixth Man of the Year, Justin Anderson joining the show. Really excited about that podcast. You will see that next week on Monday. But until then, thanks for listening.
Field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.